ASC. Terms and conditions apply. Equal opportunity lender.
Alabama News Network. I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. A Montgomery man wanted for domestic violence is now behind bars. We're told 22-year-old Alnikio Davis was taken into custody after he allegedly threw scalding liquid on a family member last month. He is expected to be charged with first-degree assault. Governor Kay Ivey's study group on gambling met for the first time Thursday. This group will study the impact gambling could have on the state of Alabama. The group now has till December 31st to report its findings back to Governor Ivey. And this week's rainfall totals have led to flooding across the river region. Dozier Road is closed past the Montgomery Wind Creek Casino up to the Emerald Mountain Toll Bridge at the Alabama River. Montgomery's Riverfront Park is also closed until further notice. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Howdy, parents. Saddle up your little buckaroos for a day of cowboy fun at the SLA Rodeo, coming to Garrett Coliseum March 19th through the 21st. Learn more and purchase tickets at slarodeo.com or call 888-2-RODEO2.
Here from United, number one in the river region when it comes to your indoor comfort. What's going on at United?
We have some new and improved financing available. It is quick, simple, and we can get you qualified in just a couple of minutes.
Get a new efficient system with monthly payments as low as $90 and with no down payment. The process is fast and hassle-free. Call today and ask about the new financing program.
Locally owned and operated with well over 300 years combined experience, United takes care of thousands of families in the river region every year. Call for a free estimate and let us educate you on all the latest technology.
Free estimates, affordable pricing, new finance options, dependable service teams, and the latest technology. It's no surprise United is number one in the river region. Stop throwing money away and call United today, 262-0247.
Or visit unitedheating.net and check us out on Facebook.
Alabama certification number 84560.
United for your comfort.
Montgomery area helpwanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Montgomery area helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show, TGIF edition. Also, Legislative Roundtable, let me bring in Representative Mike Holmes and Senator Clyde Chambliss.
How are you doing, Dan?
I am doing great, gentlemen. How are you two?
Great.
Clyde, I've got to congratulate you.
Uh-oh. What'd I do?
You did a great job on talking about the legislation on the tax when you stood up and you handled those questions.
Oh, the occupational tax?
Man!
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
They did everything but flat out call you a racist, by the way.
Yeah.
But you did a really good job with that, Clyde.
You know, there's so many things, and I take notes, and, so many things you want to say, and sometimes you just, you got to keep your eye on what the purpose is. The purpose is to pass the bill. It's not to correct something that somebody says. It's not to antagonize them. It's to pass the bill.
They were trying to get under your skin.
They did a couple times, but fortunately, I was able to just...
I thought that shot of whiskey next to you was very effective out there. I didn't know you could do that on the floor. But it really was amazing. I listened to that and how they were, they basically were, it's because there's a black mayor there. I mean, they just accuse you of racism.
Yeah, and that's just not the case. I mean, last year we passed the same bill 28-0. So that's just not the case. And he wasn't the mayor at the time. So
there you go. Okay, gentlemen, tell me, let's start with prisons, because I'm getting a lot of kind of feedback in that. Tell me where the prison situation is going to go, in your opinion.
Well, the things that I know about it is the governor's plan is still on track to receive the proposals back on April 30th. And, you know, until those proposals are back, we really don't know anything for sure. But obviously we're hoping and trying to do everything we can to put it on state-owned property in West Elmore County. So hopefully that's where we'll end
up. Well, I understand they're very vigorously looking at that, using the state and property and building right there, and that they have a legal, I know some of the legal folks that are involved at DOC, that they're going through the legal things to that. Do you think that's going to go?
It's the logical choice for sure, and I'm thinking that it's never impossible to work out a legal snag like this. If they're willing people to talk it over and work out a solution, it'll be worked out. So that's a logical solution.
Well, and that's what the property was bought for years
ago. Exactly,
years
right. A farm and that.
Yeah.
It, the one thing I am concerned about is we're going to be able to pay for it in savings. What do you guys think about that? I know both of you are fiscal hawks.
I'd be very surprised if we can. It just never seems to work out. I've looked at dozens of them back in my corporate days, and to say that you're going to budget a capital expenditure and pay for it out of savings that you're projecting have never really experienced, it's a shot in the dark. It may work 50% of the time. Any more than that is pure optimism.
So what do you two do to protect ourselves here?
Well, I think it's not realistic to say that we're going to solve our prison problems without spending any money. That's okay. Just not realistic. Are there some savings that could go toward it, money that you could repurpose? It's really not a savings. You're still spending the money. It's a repurposing. Yeah. Out of the $88 million debt service, I think there's a possibility of some $60 million or so, maintenance dollars that they're spending now that they won't have to when the prisons first come online.
So you sound like you're leaning more towards we're going to float a bond and build it ourselves.
Well, no, the governor's program is for the private construction and private maintenance. And as of right now, there's no change of that I know of.
So they're going to take the $88 to $120 million out of current expenditures?
No, that's what I was saying. They can't. I don't think they can take all of it.
Okay.
They can take some portion of it, some significant
and
portion.
And I would agree with that. I think what Clyde and I would have to debate on is the amount. As a corporate manager, I would be more cautious with that savings projection.
Is the money there?
It is.
In the budget that's been proposed, money's there.
There's an increase of $40, $45 million, I think, this year, and then we would pick up the rest of it next year. So because of the good economy that we've had.
Yeah, what happens 10 years from now?
Because of the simplified seller's use tax that we, the online tax that we were able to start collecting, it's doable, but we've got to be very careful. And I'll applaud the governor because the budget she sent over, she didn't use all of the growth in or spend it towards operational costs. You know, some portion of it, half or two-thirds, you might can do it, but you may not have that next year. So she's conservative in what she sent to us, and I think we in both the Senate and the House will be conservative in what we approve as well.
Well, I want to get back to your rolling reserve concept of the general fund budget, but let's go back into prisons. How big of an impact would that be on y'all's districts, a building that big of a facility? Because I understand this thing is huge.
Well, currently in Elmore County, it's $180 million per year economic impact in Elmore County.
But that's current. That's not current, with the building.
Current. The one that they want to build in Central Alabama will be about 4,000 beds, and it will have the mental health component and the health component to it, healthcare component. And it would increase that. I don't know what it would increase it to, but I would imagine it would increase it to about at least $250 million annual income, annual impact.
But you're talking about, and I was really looking at the construction part of it, and in the additional personnel that will have to be added, which is going to make a lot of other places kind of angry, let's say. But I can't think of a project that would be that large that's happened in y'all's district?
Oh, no.
Not in today's dollars. If you look back at what they cost back then, it would be a pittance compared, when they built all those
prisons. This would be bigger than International Paper or Union Bagging Camp building their facility.
And jobs, too. Although it won't be incrementally, there's not that many jobs. Theory is that you're going to be able to save enough labor to service that debt almost. You're not going to incrementally not that many jobs on the operational side. The construction side, you're right, Dan, it's going to be a boom. I don't know what their contractors are thinking they can do this in, whether it's 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. I would guess somewhere in that range. And Clyde, you're an engineer. Once they get everything signed and sealed and the paperwork done, I would think if they could do it somewhere in that 18 to 24-month range.
That's about right, yeah. Something at similar scope are the power generation plants.
Mm-hmm.
This would be of similar scope to that as far as capital investment.
That would be a very, very, very large number. It certainly would have a big impact on it. And then you look at food sources, and because that's one of the big variables you're low on guards by ratio, but you are high on food output and things like that. The teacher's pay raise, and let's go back to rolling reserve and the general fund. Where are you on getting that out of your finance committee?
We're out of committee and ready to go to the floor. I've got the support of my general fund chair in the Senate and the House general fund chair. So it's just been a matter of getting to that point. We had sunset bills that we had to get through. We're through with those. We had the occupational tax we needed to deal with. So I've asked the majority leader if he would allow me to just give an overview of it in caucus on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. And I'm hopeful that we'll have it on the floor before we get out for spring break and send it on to the House.
How many years will the reserve, what will be your average? Is it five?
It's totally different than the education side. It's more of a reserve based on projected or revenue that you did not project that you received. So it's totally different from that. You don't really calculate revenue based on five-year average or 10 or 15, which is what I had in there last year. But in order to work and get all the people and players on board, it's just done a little bit differently.
Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to take the number that they budget and then the number of amount that you receive, the overage will go into a reserve.
Not all of it. Last year, because of the growth that we really haven't experienced, we actually received, I think the number was close to $100 million above what was forecast. That's the number that we would be looking at being able to utilize for the reserve.
So that all $100 million would go in versus allocated?
We could put all $100 million in, but only 20% is required to go in. So we put in what's required, and then we could put more in that based on what's going on at the time. We don't want to tie our hands so tight that we have no flexibility whatsoever.
Let's talk about teacher pay increase and or getting to this new ability to retire after X number of years early and take your pay plus your pension from the state. Where are we on pay raise and where are we on changing their pension plan that's going to have a little bit of a drop effect, let's say?
Well, so far nothing, because we haven't passed any of that yet. It's all proposed in the governor's budget that we're all looking at and working on now on the Education Trust Fund. So it's a proposed raise now.
How is it being talked about? Is it being favorably considered, not favorably? A lot of questions, what?
But there are a lot of questions, yes. I think it's pretty, the way it was presented to us in the original package from the governor, her proposal was pretty simple and straightforward. Particularly the raise part. Now, the changes that the other bills we talked about last week brought on board with the change in making it easier to hire and retain teachers, that everybody seems to be for that. I don't see any controversy there.
Are both of you for the pay raise?
I'm an old teacher, so that part
you're
of me wants to say,
teacher.
Yeah, old former teacher. How about that? An old former teacher. And I wasn't so old then, but I'm getting there now. But the propensity to say it's always you can't throw too much money to education. Yes, you can. you can. We can't get in the habit of big raises. And to me, I still have this vision of us being able to work out an outcome-based system to really reward our good teachers, our great teachers that show exceptional performance and turn out an exceptional outcome. Then they should be rewarded some way.
With and a merit pay raise.
Merit pay.
Or bonus.
Bonuses. I like bonuses better coming from the corporate world. And not just that. There's a lot of ways to incentivize those people. Peer recognition works great in the corporate world and in the education world. If people just recognize those people that are doing a great job, the teachers are doing a great job, get recognized for it. It goes a long way in retention. And outcome is what, that's the real answer here, is what, how are students performing?
Right. Well, you know, when you look at the Montgomery Public School System, that's part of what the problem is you have these friends in the central office, and they help their folks that are out in the school system. And that's, if we do merit, that would be the only thing that would just be giving money to their friends and no real cause and effect.
Yeah, and if there's that much corruption there that you can't control it, then that's a problem.
It's terrible.
Yeah, and that has to be dealt with, but we can't let one situation hold back everybody. You know, in Autauga and Elmore County, you have two of the lowest funded systems in the state that are consistently at the top of the results. So you can't hold them back because of some other issue you're dealing with. Now, as far as the raise is concerned, we need our...
Is the reason they don't have the money is because they don't have... the kids at risk money that's going to the free lunches and such?
It's partly because we fund our ad valorem is at the minimum. And then secondly, it's because of what you're saying, and we don't have the same federal input as some other systems. But as far as our teachers, we need the best and the brightest to train our future teachers, our future students and professionals and people who are going to get out and work. We need that. But we also have to be very, very careful that we don't get ahead of our skis, so to speak, when we have money this year and we commit too much and too high on salaries, and then 2 or 3 years down the road when we have an economic downturn, and we're overdue right now, then we can't meet our obligations. So, yes, I think that we will have some pay raise, but I think it'll be guarded and we won't, you know, we need to just make sure we don't get out too far and be overextended.
Do you think the pension plan will happen where you can retire and start collecting your pension while you're being a teacher also?
Based on the discussions I see in the House, yes. I don't know about the Senate, but...
I think it depends on what the final version looks like. There's a lot of discussion, a lot of moving parts on that. If it's at a zero cost or low cost to the state, then yeah, it'd probably happen. If there's a heavy cost to the state, then
out of the RSA system. I mean,
it's still the state still pays that. We send over $1 billion a year, so it does affect. You know, those things do affect our appropriations.
Let me go to a break. News 93.1, Dan Moore Show. Be back with Legislative Roundtable right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hey, Linwood and Highland. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, and I have a message for our men and women in blue. The weight of the badge is heavy, but your financial burden doesn't have to be. We at Alabama Home Mortgage appreciate your service to our communities. As a thank you, each law enforcement officer who purchases or refinances their home with Alabama Home Mortgage will receive a $500 gift card at closing. You heard me right, $500. We have had the honor of working with countless hometown heroes. You should be the next. What are you waiting for? Just the other day, a Montgomery police officer refinanced his mortgage with Alabama Home Mortgage. He lowered his interest rate by an entire point and received $10,000 in cash to pay off credit card debt. In addition, he skipped 2 months' mortgage payments. It sounds too good to be true, but it's not. Call Alabama Home Mortgage at 567-4223. You deserve the best. Call the mortgage company that appreciates you. Call Alabama Home Mortgage right now. Madeline and I are standing by, ready to assist you. Call 567-4223 or visit us at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. With PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228. Comment, question, viewpoint? Well, you better call. Tell me about the gasoline tax and the management of that money and the sending that money out. How is that going?
It's starting to trickle into the various agencies and our entities, state, county, city. The big part of it is the Joint Transportation Committee, which I spearheaded that initiative to try to revamp that. That's the accountability part of it. And fortunately, we put some really, really strong accountability measures on our legislators in that bill. And at our last meeting, we had 100% participation by our legislators. And that's not typical. So.
You only get that if you have a free lunch.
Yeah, well, we do have our jobs and our families, and there are times where we can't. But, if you sign up for that committee, there's dollars involved and accountability. And if you can't be there, then that's okay. We need somebody who can. So I was really pleased with that. And we're making some real progress.
Is it going as planned? Is it happening the way you envisioned it?
It is. There's really nothing, not much on the ground yet, but starting this summer, I think you'll start seeing that.
But you're allocating the money to the different entities.
Yeah. It's all moving in the direction based on the law and the formulas and all that. It's all working.
Okay.
It generally fits the timeline. The plan is there, and the people that are actually managing the operations know when to expect it, and I think that part's moving smoothly.
Well, hopefully this summer people will start seeing the signs of road construction and things like that.
We'll get spring here sooner or later, and that's when we'll start seeing the activity.
Yeah, I'm tired of this rain out here. Let's talk about the gun permit and having things done under ALEA and the lifetime permit concept. That seems to be waning now, but where is that piece of legislation or that notion?
Well, I was actually in Senate Judiciary Committee meeting Wednesday afternoon. I had a bill in there, so I had to wait through all of that, which took well over, I think, an hour and a half or so. I really wasn't familiar with what was going on, and there are several different versions and several different you know, approaches to what we need to do. And, you know, I don't know that I know the answer sitting here today, but, you know, having law enforcement, having the information they need at their fingertips, I think is important. But to going beyond where we, what the information and all that we already have, I'm not necessarily interested in that. So
how about the lifetime permit?
I like the concept of a lifetime permit for me personally. That way I don't, because I really like the 5 year, because now I get the 5 year and I don't have to get to go back every year. We also need, you know, to make sure that those who, you know, have these mental health issues or different things over time. So, you know, guns don't get in the wrong hands, but we can't penalize, you know, honest, law-abiding citizens in the process. That's the whole point.
Well, let me kind of give you my take on this, or portion of this. If I'm in North Carolina, for example, and I get pulled over and I have a weapon in my car, and I tell the police officer, I have my hands on the steering wheel, I have a weapon in the car. And so he says, slowly pull the weapon out, takes it, puts it on the roof, asks for my permit. If you have a lifetime permit, he doesn't run my name or anything. He just sees that I have a permit, and he sees the date of expiration and know that it's valid. If I had had that permit revoked, but I never turned it in, then he doesn't know that because he's not running a background check on me.
Yeah, and that's why I was saying if they have this database and everything working up and running.
But so North Carolina's going to have to go plug
so that they have that. All of that information at their fingertips, he would know that that permit was revoked. That's where we need to get to.
Yeah, see, you're asking North Carolina to run a background on me from the car.
No, it's not a background.
Well,
they would just tie in the
warrant. You know, there's a warrant outstanding on me.
Well, it wouldn't necessarily even be a warrant. It could just be that you're...
No, I mean, that's what they'll do sometimes. I mean, they'll go in and they'll take my driver's license. They'll run my driver's license and see if there's anything outstanding on me. And that's about as far as it goes. But if he's just pulling me over for a warning, he doesn't know whether that's expired or not.
Right, and to some degree, it doesn't matter if you're not doing anything with your gun. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they can take that too far, and I'm kind of fearful of that.
Let me go to a break. Jason, coming right back to you with a question right after this.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
With as much waste as your business generates, it's important to know where it's all going to go. With Alabama Dumpster Service, it goes right into that familiar red dumpster or roll-off container, delivered straight to you. As we celebrate our 20th year, our customers know they can count on friendly customer service and reliable, competitive pricing. With Alabama Dumpster Service, the rate you agreed to is always the rate you'll pay. Call today at 334-288-1500 or learn more at alabamadumpster.com.
What's up, Montgomery? This your boy Bama Miles up here at Rim Time. We've been rocking with Blue Water Broadcasting for about 6 years now. If you're looking to grow your business, hit them up. They'll get you right.
Radio advertising is the only word of mouth you control. It adds credibility, creates emotional response, and attracts new customers. Find out how Blue Water Broadcasting can grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. President Trump touring the destruction left by this week's tornadoes in Tennessee, which killed 25.
It was about as big a tornado as you can have. It was 50 miles long, which is extraordinarily long.
The president is now heading to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. At least 14 U.S. deaths from coronavirus have been confirmed, and officials are tracking more than 230 cases of the illness in the country. SpaceX has a final flight plan tonight for its Dragon 1 capsule.
The company is retiring the capsule to make way for the Dragon 2.
Dragon 1 will be heading on its swan song journey to deliver cargo, supplies, and experiments to the International Space Station. The big difference between Dragon 1 and Dragon 2, the first capsule was designed to haul cargo. Dragon 2 is going to be able to carry people.
Fox's Caroline Shively. America is listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Caravita Village. Mom and Dad don't have to be lonely. They're a community built on relationships. Visit Caravita Village today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. The news is very good for the next few days, including the entire weekend. For today, look for lots of sunshine. It's going to be a nice one. High temperature in the low to mid-60s. Boy, we deserve this. Mainly clear tonight. Kind of chilly overnight, low temperature in the mid-30s tomorrow and Sunday. Beautiful weather. Abundant sunshine. Low 60s Saturday, upper 60s Sunday. Monday's high will be in the low 70s. Chance of showers by late Monday and a better chance of rain Monday night into Tuesday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, legislative roundtable. Representative Mike Holmes, Senator Clyde Chambliss in the House. Question, comment, or viewpoint? Well, you better call. Jason did. Jason, you're on board with Representative Holmes and Senator Chambliss.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Great. Good.
Hey, I got a quick question. Well, a couple questions if I got time. But the first question is, you mentioned merit-based pay raises for teachers. My question is, are there, as far as how you define that, are you giving any consideration to the school environment? So, like, say, teachers that teach at a Title I school have particular challenges that you may not find at non-Title I schools. So I'm not sure if that would factor into how you would determine merit versus the other. And then the second question would be regarding the Porch Creek Indians offer for $1 billion up front, or like $300 million every subsequent year, something like that, for gambling rights in the state. How do you guys view that particular proposal, and would it be something that you could go along with to support the prisons or the schools or whatever other issue that you guys have been talking about?
Let's go back to schools first. Well, I think what I said is outcome-based rewards, and I think, and I didn't say this, but I should have, but my feeling is that that's why we have local school boards. The one size fits all on that's not going to work, and that's why we need a decision-making power at the local level, the local school boards, depending on what their cross-section of students is and what their cross-section of teachers are, where their performance levels and what their expectations are. And again, back to what we were saying earlier, Autauga and Elmore County are two of the lowest budgeted in the state, but yet they're still performing above. We need to figure out a way to reward so that we can retain. Right now there's such a shortage of teachers. We're having a problem keeping the teachers we've got. We've got good teachers, and we need some sort of a reward there, a system for them to be able to know that they've got a chance of, with exceptional performance, to get that extra bonus.
Yeah, I understand.
How about the gaming question? Were you guys on the on gaming and doing a deal with the Porch Creek Indians?
I'll jump on that first. $1 billion is a lot of money, mm-hmm. but it is only 4.5% of our annual budget. So to jump out there and give away the world because it's a big number, I'm not interested in that. Additionally,
and of that $1 billion, a chunk of it is in building, right? The casino in Huntsville, casino in Birmingham.
Right. They wanted to expand. So to me, it's kind of a dichotomy of a representative republic, and here's what I mean by that. Gambling is probably one of the worst ways to fund government. I don't think that's a good idea and good direction to go. I know that there are social ills that come with it. There are negatives that come with it. But at the same time, 70 to 80% of my constituents want to vote on it. So what do I do when I have those opposite viewpoints? So the thing is, I'm just going to try to be objective and try whatever plan comes out. If we can get a good bill for the people to vote on, I'll be fine with that. But I'm not interested in just, you know, oh, we got to have a clean vote on taking gambling out of our Constitution without any controls, without a gambling commission, without any way to regulate it. That, you know, I'm not interested in that either. So anyway, it's the $64 million question. We've been through this, I think, every single session that I've been in Montgomery, and just the opposing viewpoints and how it all works out, there's just not a path to make it happen.
There's a couple of... Go ahead.
And if I could add something real quick, and I want you to keep your thought, but if you look across the country, regardless of the Poor Creek Indian offer or not, most states on average make between like $200 and $300 million a year on like the Powerball. So even if, regard to your point, you mentioned that 70-some-odd% of your constituents that you hear from want to vote, would that be a satisfactory alternative to the Poor Creek offer? Would be, okay, fine, you don't want it, you don't want them to have a monopoly on it, but you're at least willing to have maybe even a clean vote. Just, can we just have the Powerball? Or can we just have, you know, Alabama Mega Millions or whatever to get that revenue that we're giving to Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, and Mississippi? Well,
let me give you a quick answer on that one. Sponsor that's been working on a house, a simple, clean paper lottery, was ready to drop it yesterday afternoon. I'm not sure he did get it dropped, but it probably would, if not yesterday. It will get dropped early next week. That's Chairman Steve Klaus has a simple, straightforward paper lottery. Nobody's seen the bill except the insiders. I finally got my first peek at it late yesterday afternoon and didn't even have time to read it. I scanned it really quickly, and it seems to be what he says it is. It's clean, straight. Okay. I think it's 5 pages, so it's not a lot of ifs, ands, or buts about it. Back to the other problem in the Poarch Creek offer. Big concern I have is, and it's been, the word's been mentioned here, monopoly. I really can't see us as a private enterprise, country or state, allowing anybody to have a monopoly on a particular, that, something that big, and or really on anything. Free enterprise is what we're all about. So how can you give somebody a monopoly on this, a corner on it, and close down any free enterprise that's already there that it would like to come in there and make this a competitive game? So that's one problem. The other problem that Senator Chambliss touched on was social cost. I think it's much higher than people want to give it credence of, but it cost the taxpayers of Alabama a lot of money to deal with the social ills that come out of any kind of major gambling.
Okay. Well, guys, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's do the drawing for this weekly farm market gift basket.
Let's do this. Let's just do this with a little fanfare. The winner of the Sweet Creek Farm Market $60 gift basket is Lee.
Lee, you need to call me at 272-9228 so I can hook you up with your Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. Let's go to Clyde. Clyde, you're on board with Clyde Chambliss and Mike Holmes.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good. I like the name.
going back to the Indian issue, whatever is negotiated with the governor in a compact is going to have to be approved by the Department of Interior. We all agree on that?
Correct. Yes.
Do you guys know the highest percentage that has ever been allowed for the Indians across the country to give back to a state?
I do not.
I think it's around 10 to 12 is the number I've heard. So
it's 10%.
It's what?
It's 10%.
10%.
It's 10%. Under federal statute, the most they can give back is 10%. The average across the nation is between 6 and 8%. So the numbers that they're throwing out are absolutely disingenuous.
Well, I agree with
and
you.
And I think it's important. Very, very, I think it's important for... Yeah, and I think it's important for the people, especially in the legislature, to understand there is a ceiling and a cap under federal statute of a percentage that the Indians can give back. The max they can give back is 10%. That is a federal law, and it's under statute of the Department of Interior. And again, I think people ought to understand that even though the governor does sign a compact with the Indians, it has to be approved by the Department of Interior.
And they have to get something out of it as well.
Absolutely. So these numbers are throwing around about $1 billion. It's really about $100 million a year if you consider their gross revenue is about $1 billion. It really probably is around $80 million once they fine-tune the whole thing. But, you know, what happens when the governor, if she signs the compact, it goes up to the Department of Interior. you know, what when the people of Alabama find out what really is going to be paid out, what do we do then?
Well, I think the governor, she's ahead of that game because she's brought in this task force of different people who have knowledge, and that's their whole job is to find out, okay, what are the facts, what are the real numbers, and that kind of
right.
thing. So that's
right.
what she's in process.
I'm really pleased, too. I agree with Clyde. I think the governor and that task force is doing a great job of finding out the numbers that you're talking about. They're verifying them all, being sure that they're real, and then making an intelligently informed decision.
Right. All right, great. Thank you guys for your time. Thank y'all for being on the show. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Appreciate the
y'all have a good afternoon.
Call. I like very informed callers like that.
Yes.
Let's do this. Let's go to Urbanite. Urbanite, welcome aboard the Dan Mara Show.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Actually, the guy before me stole my thunder. I was going to mention, why don't we just divide the state in like three regions and give anybody who wants to pay $100 or $200 million to the state a license? And now that makes everybody, put everybody on an even playing field. What's so bad about that?
Well, it's a starting point for another discussion for sure, yeah.
And the school teacher thing, why don't we just bring their salaries up to the national average at or above the national average and then require a testing program to make sure we're getting our money's worth for the teachers? I mean, what's wrong with solving problems? Like, we don't solve problems in this country anymore.
Well, I don't know that we're up to the national average.
We're close.
You know that we are the lowest or second lowest cost of living state in the nation.
But
our teacher's salary is higher than 13 other states. So we are doing our part there.
We not put an end to any debate about teacher salaries if we match national average. If we get that information from the revenue department or whatever. We match teacher salaries to the national average, and we make sure we're getting our money's worth.
But Urbanite, as a financial guy, I can tell you, you're comparing apples to oranges. Our pension system and our health care for teachers is outstanding. Georgia does not do that. So if you compare a Georgia number to an Alabama number, you're doing an apple to an orange.
You have to do with the total package is what you'd have to do that average on nationwide, and it's so difficult to measure all that.
Let's go to Lee, the winner of the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. Lee, welcome and congratulations.
Thank y'all so much. I knew I'd have a good day. I had a brand new granddaughter at 8:15 this morning.
Congratulations.
All right.
Outstanding. You can take her down to Sweet Creek when you get your gift basket?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, Lee,
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, Clyde, we went to school together at Grace Christian.
Oh, good to hear from you, Lee. It's been a while.
Yes, sir. How you been doing?
Oh, it's great. Everything's good. We're blessed.
I thought you guys were saying y'all were inmates together.
Sometimes it felt that way.
Lee, you're the winner. I only ask one. I've already sent your name to Reed and Karen Ingram, so you should be able to go down there today if you'd like. But all I ask is once you go there is call me back sometime next week and tell me what you got and tell me about your experience.
I will do it, and I do appreciate it. And
thank
y'all for your show.
Thank you, Lee, and congratulations.
Take care, Lee.
All right.
That's the best giveaway in the River Region. I had my competitor even said that. They go, that is a great giveaway that you
got.
Well,
it's a win-win, too. I think Reed and his family love it, too, because they're getting the coverage that they're paying for, and they know it.
It's kind of interesting. Our last two callers, Clyde and Lee. My name is Clyde Lee.
They're shadowing you, my friend. Let's go to Randall. Randall, you're on board the Dan Mara Show with Mike Holmes and Clyde Chambliss.
How y'all doing, fellas?
Good. What's going on, Randall?
Not too much, man. Hey, back to the occupational tax and what the governor has done. If they come up, if Reed said his team comes up with a plan, implements a city school system, shows that they're going to take this money not only fix every rotten road that the gas tax ain't covering, because, I mean, like you said, it's going to take a while. I mean, you can't do them all at once. $7 million don't go far above Mobile. Is there any way, if they come up with plans, is it you? Because Reed said this morning they wasn't even really, you know, after the gas tax. They were just searching, but now that they've been told no, they won't, you know what I mean? If they come up with a hell of a plan and a city school system to tear down and to put LAMP back together, make the place great again,
utilize the airport, get people coming down here. Because, see, then you can have people from up at Washington fly down, shake hands, take pictures, look what the money's doing. Trump's already wanting to put money back into the vocational side of high school. Get him coming down here, too, and take Space Force money. And don't let Maxwell go nowhere, because you know what's going to happen. If a certain person gets in there, we ain't fixing to hide it. I mean, and let Huntington do Space Force through here and let them pick from this Air Force and implement the skid school system into that in a way.
Randall,
you know, not like the whole thing.
Mayor Reed never said anything about this money going for a city school system.
But if he come up with a plan and it's on paper, is that something that would pass through, or is it dead issue all the way around? That's what I want.
No, we left the door open, and here's the whole thought process. Montgomery is the economic engine of Central Alabama. We need Montgomery to be healthy, remain healthy, to grow and thrive. We need that. So we didn't pass a bill that says, no, never, you can never do anything. We passed a bill that said those who are going to have to pay an occupational tax have a say in the process. That's what the bill did.
All right. Well, so he's going to have to come up with a good design and not just pass it and put the money up in a one account and sign checks out. That's basically
correct.
All I'm saying.
It has to benefit right, the whole region if it's going to be paid by the whole region.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if Montgomery fails, the whole region fails. I mean, anything for Montgomery is for us, man. We are dead without them.
Yeah, and, you know, our death, you know, will be 4 or 5 years later, but it would be short on the heels of it.
It'd be so many empty houses. I mean, golly. And it's the houses with the, I'm not saying they... Look, y'all, I'm not saying they cheap houses, but that government, I mean, y'all, this is our Air Force, our military. Yeah, you know what I mean? Y'all, take a little time and give these folks some good quality houses out there. I walked through some of them. Y'all would be a damn
thing. That's a federal issue, Randall. Randall, thanks for the telephone call. Appreciate it. News Talk 93.1, final segment coming up right after this.
News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
When you make the decision to sell your home, what should you look for in a real estate agent? Someone who communicates well with you, an agent who is engaged from start to finish, one with experience, knowledge, and proven results?
We're Paul and Christy Millo with Wallace & Moody Realty, and we can promise you all that and more. If you need to buy or sell a house, please call Paul or Christy today at 399-7648 or visit our website at skipzillowcallmillo.com to get a copy of our 21-point marketing plan.
Remember, for all your real estate needs, skip Zillow, call Millo.
Sometimes you need things done around your house or land that your lawnmower or weed eater just can't handle. That's when you call Prattville Farm Center. They bring their own crew and equipment and clear whatever you need. They say no job is too small. I've been going to Prattville Farm Center for years, and I like dealing with hometown folks. They get the job done right and get it done quickly. If you have land that needs clearing, call Randy at Prattville Farm Center on South Memorial Drive in Prattville. Call 365-5400.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
.27 29 228. You want to get your shots in, you better call the last segment of the Dan Morris Show. TGIF edition legislators roundtable. We're not going to see our legislators for a while here because we have to change our schedule because of the AEA break and other things.
Should have one more week.
No, right. Well, with you guys. I want to see you guys for
that's right.
2 weeks.
That's right.
2 weeks.
The other group will be in here. The A team will be
the
in here next
the
week.
The double A team. Let's go to Biloxi Gambler. Biloxi Gambler, you're on with Dan Morris, Mike Holmes, and Clyde Chambers.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Before they leave, y'all give, whether you're on Facebook or an email or a contact number, I got something else for you. But Clyde, I eat at your cousin's barbecue place all the time. I love it.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Where's your cousin's barbecue place?
Champ's Barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
231 North.
Yeah. I know. I've been there. It's great.
That's great.
Absolutely.
Great stuff.
It's wonderful. I'm going to make one comment. Listen,
yeah, we go there on the way coming out from Paseo and drive by. It's great. Go ahead,
now,
I'm sorry.
I'm going to make one comment so other people can get in. Let me tell you something about this monopoly stuff on anything, and I'm not going to go on vacation in Montgomery and Wetumpka anyway. I go to the Gulf Coast. That's why I'm a Biloxi Gambler. But if you have a monopoly on anything, let's say you had a monopoly on pizza, you're going to end up with bad pizza and pay too much for it.
That's right.
So that's the main thing. Just no monopoly. That should have been killed right off the bat. The governor should have picked up the phone and said, I don't know how stupid you think Alabama people are, but we're not going with any monopoly on any product or service, period.
Well, everybody has their freedom of speech, so they get to say what they want to say.
Yeah, but it's just, they say I'm stupid even trying it. And, yeah, I am a Biloxi Gambler, and I do gamble. But in the casinos fight for my business, and they fight for everybody's business down there, and that's what you need is competition. Thanks, guys.
That's what this country was built on.
That's right. Thank you.
Let's explore that. Would you want to do a model where you'd have licenses and they go into a lottery and then everybody throws in a certain amount of money and you pull out their name and they have to have certain standards to win that lottery?
Yeah, I don't want to do any of it, but if we're going to have to do something...
I'm kind of the same way. I think the social side of it has gotten me to where I'm not going to be a fan, but I agree with Clyde, is that if people in my district and the state want to vote on it, I'm not going to stand in the way of that.
But you're against a monopoly to the Indians?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really a non-starter from what I've seen in the state house. I mean, you know, there even the pro gambling, the people that really want to do it, they given one entity a monopoly. I don't
well,
think
and,
so
I, and I happen. Think they've done the numbers, just like your previous caller that really had his facts.
Right.
They've done the numbers and they know the money that they're talking about is just not there.
Not
you
there.
Can't make it come out.
Yeah, and you get a lot more money if you have a free enterprise system
right.
and you have Harrods and.
Then we become Nevada then, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, runs the whole state.
Competition also regulates it. You know, if you have one entity, you have no competition, it hurts on the regulatory side. So regulation or competition helps regulate it.
Well, the committee met yesterday, and with Todd Strange leading it, I thought it was interesting. They said, we're going to talk to neighboring states, and one of the states that they're going to talk to is Mississippi. And I hope they talk to Haley Barbour, because Haley Barbour, who's a friend of mine, told me, he said, it's not all that it's cracked up to be. You bring a lot of stuff with
you. I've talked to the neighboring states several times since I've been in, and they all say the same thing. If you don't have to, don't do this.
Yeah, Haley was pretty, because we didn't realize road repair and everything else that had to come off of that we needed for just to move traffic, but we weren't being compensated for it. It was coming out of the wrong bucket, as he would say. Tell me about the things that we need to watch out for coming up next week.
One I wanted to mention quickly is getting more into the Department of Corrections and some of the things that we've pledged to do in that first lawsuit now. And part of that is the mental health side. Part of it is some sentencing reform. And that committee is starting to come back in that package. But, Clyde, I think you serve on that committee.
That's right.
So that package of bills, we addressed the first part of the House bills part. It was five bills this week, I think it was. And that was an interesting judiciary. I served on the Judiciary Committee. It was an interesting meeting this week, much longer than usual, just a lot of debate. We didn't get them all out. In fact, I don't think any of them were ready for prime time. It's kind of where we wound up, and there's still a lot of negotiating to do there. It feels like we're maybe erring on the side of leniency for our people behind the wire. Not that I want them all to come out and be good citizens and performing citizens and happy with the rest of their lives when they get out, but Let's don't do that with the risk of not having a safe state for our taxpayers to live in. Public safety is our number one job, to be sure that our people are safe, without turning out criminals onto the street. I mean, hardened criminals.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And in our discussions with our committee, where there's been a lot of back and forth about that very thing. And, you know, obviously there are people who are throwing ideas and proposals out there, but I don't see any of those that are just going to be, you know, really, really unpalatable, really making it through the process.
I've been pleased so far that the governor's staff that we've talked to are very willing to listen and negotiate on that. And I think that's encouraging. We can get there where they need to be, I think, to do the settlement. But
are you all finding this governor good to work with?
I have. You know, it's one thing for a leader like a governor to be decisive and make decisions. It's another thing for them to listen to you and take your input and ask questions. And I feel like she does both. She listens and then is decisive. And, you know, it's not always what I would have made or agree with. But if I have my say and input and I'm listened to, then, you know, that's all I can expect.
I can't disagree with that, but let me add one other caveat. Adding Joe Bond to that office has been a great
guy.
He is a pro, and he's straightforward, and he gives his word. It's his bond, and it's just been a pleasure to work with him.
He is a sharp guy. The 5G infrastructure bill passed coming out of the Senate. I'm big on 5G. But how are you going to really do the entire state?
Well, what the bill did is it set a framework for the entire state, other than the cities that already have the framework. But that allows the bigger companies, the AT&T, Verizon's, on all, to come in and be able to invest in our state and not have to worry about the particular regulation for every city. They kind of have a state standard of what they can do.
Do you feel that this will move us up on the shopping list faster?
Absolutely. It's something that we really, really needed to do. And there's a lot of discussion. You know, the vote was 30-0 yesterday, but there was
5G is huge.
A lot of discussion and a lot of back and forth to make that bill palatable. And obviously with the 30-0 vote, that happened. And that's really, you know, early in the day, I was not sure. And they kept working and kept working and found solutions to the problems.
Well, I know a little bit about the 5G. I've got a friend that's really big in that business that's up in Washington. And the speed that's going to come out of our telephones is going to be mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. So the sooner, the better, as far as I'm concerned. Then I can scrap my cable account and just pop my phone to my computer and knock it out all day long. Any other things that we need to look for that could be problems?
Not a problem necessarily, but the medical marijuana bill is teed up and ready in the Senate. I think it's probably going to make it through the Senate. It's probably going to be a similar vote.
They have the disbursement of the who is going to be dispersing the medical marijuana?
I've read the definitions. I can't quote them off the top of my head, but they have the dispensary defined and how it's going to work and that sort of thing in the bill.
It'd be based on medical script.
Yes.
Am I understanding that right? That's I think it's right.
That's right.
But the question is, will CVS and Walgreens do it because of the Fed issue?
Yeah.
Because they basically said we're not going to do anything that could create a problem with the Feds. Mm-hmm. So I don't want Joe's Shack House to be the dispensary. Gentlemen, I thank you very, very much. I'll see you, Mike, but if I don't see you, Clyde, I want you to have a wonderful AEA and spring break, get some rest, and come back and do it again.
We'll be ready.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, guys. Joey, thanks for a great show.
Good show.
Guys, be good, be safe. Be back Monday at 12 o'clock. I'm going to keep doing this until I get it right. Greg Budell, the great, he's next. Adios.